Welcome to the Azelis America podcast, Grow Your Know. I am your host, Steve Sides, and here we discuss the latest news, trends, and challenges of the industrial manufacturing and chemical sectors within North America. Join me as I speak with industry experts tackling the difficult issues affecting the chemical industry today, and come away with information that we know will have impact through ideas. Our first Grow Your Know podcast discusses the industry's long-standing efforts to establish sustainable business practices, including addressing the many environmental, economic, and social challenges that are present in today's complex global economy. Our guest for this discussion, Gary LaRue, president of the Canadian Paint and Coatings Association, has a unique perspective on the whole topic of sustainability, derived from representing the industry in Canada and on the global stage, working with other coatings industry associations in the World Coatings Council. Gary is clearly an advocate for the industry. He says has and continues to make very significant sustainability advances, but has failed to get even a little credit for the effort. And while I'm sure he can back that up, we will ask for his ideas and explore their impact on the industry's future. Let's get started. Gary, thanks for being here today. It's good to see you again. And our focus today really is on the Canadian market and paints and coatings and what's new and what's happening in areas important to the industry. I think right now, the best thing we might do is talk a little bit about Canadian coatings producers market, what's happening now, and what are the prospects for the future, and really getting your comments as the head of the Canadian Association at this time.
Well, hello, Steve. It's great to see you again. I'm really pleased to engage with you on this, and I always like talking about Canada.
With governments and their rationale for tighter constraints in the industry is you should go green. You should get out of this nasty business that you're in and that requires our constant scrutiny and assessment and change in practice and be green. Do things that are sustainable. Do things that are environmentally responsible. And I wonder what the I can speak to, you know, things that I know are going on in the technology side in the U.S., but, you know, our focus here is Canada. But quite frankly, everybody's looking at this question of what is the emerging green technologies? What is it that we're going to be able to do that's going to get us out of this? One area is bio-based technology, which sometimes, you know, puts us in direct conflict with other people that want to make use of bio-based materials. So any thoughts on this? What's emerging? What do you hear about? What's down the road?
And the World Coatings Council will be looking at sustainability reporting and trying to get everybody on the same page across the globe in terms of how we report on sustainability using the same metrics and that kind of thing. And to monitor it from, you know, baseline years to years going forward, which is all great. And a lot has happened in the past 5-6 years on that. First, sustainability means more than environmental sustainability. Someone hijacked that term and it really bothers me all the time because it means economic sustainability. It means raw material sustainability of existing components and inputs for products. So you have to look at that in a context if you're looking at environmental sustainability. But if you look at, and I have in the last couple of years, every year I look at it, is sustainability reporting of the big manufacturing companies and suppliers as well. It's phenomenal how far they have come in making advancements in reporting on sustainability. They're linking their sustainable efforts to the sustainable development goals of the UN, those that matter to them. And they've established baseline years where they can keep measuring wastewater use, energy consumption, going to those levels of reporting and looking at where bio-based chemicals are used, they're using them where they can. Although, when you hear alternative and bio-based chemical use, it's important to note that they have to work. If they don't work, then they can't be used, because the other drum I've been pounding for a long time is that, you know, the paint and coatings industry, and the article talks about that, is that, you know, the industry, supplies products that help reduce the environmental footprint of customers, whether it be, you know, life cycle cost reduction in your home or municipal projects, et cetera, et cetera. Extending the life of those means that those products don't have to be replaced as quickly. So I think we should be starting from a position of strength, but because we're in chemicals, we're often put into a position of weakness. So the point of the article was to say, we've got to stand up and take credit for what we've achieved. I don't think we've done enough of that in industry. And if we, especially when we see governments coming harder, looking for more, whether it be bio-based or whatever, alternative chemicals, we have to say, look, this is what we're doing. And look at the reporting. The reporting, if you look at the big manufacturers reporting and go online and look at it, it's very impressive what has been achieved. And, it, you know, we've been talking a long time about, you know, marine coatings applied to ships, how they reduce the drag on the ship in terms of fossil fuel consumption of 2%. Take that across 250,000 vessels bringing our goods to us every day, then you're looking at, you know, $60 billion in reduction in fossil fuel consumption and the VOCs greatly reduced. So, you know, we have not taken credit for that. And I think if you talk to governments, they don't know about it. I had an occasion to go to a meeting with Environment and Climate Change Canada. They asked me, where can I recycle my paint? Well, these are the guys that get up every day to save the planet. And they don't know or take initiative to go and find out where they can take their paint back to get recycled. They should start recognizing more. And I think we're looking at a campaign internally here, because we're pushing back on the next round of regulations to say, look, we are doing well. We have recycled leftover paint in Canada over the last year for 28 million kilograms, enough to paint 500,000 homes. Here we go. Like, we continue to go on. VOC reductions. 92% in Canada of architectural paint is now waterborne. 42 kilotons of air emissions reduced. So we've done a lot. And as an industry, and I think because it's chemical, they want more. And we talk about it later. We're looking at now more VOC reductions from industrial coatings and that kind of thing. So I think the best defense is a stronger offense. We've been playing offense too long in terms of how far this industry has come. And, you know, even the last 5 to 10 years, as you know, Steve, a lot's been done on that. And every industry, CEOs and the VPs are involved in looking at sustainability, how they can do more, and that's very encouraging. And so I think we have a good story to tell, and we got to tell it more. I mean, you can look at cornstarch and all those kind of stuff's being looked at now for you know biotech process. You know, looking at bio-based monomers and that kind of stuff. Sure, that's all fine, and there's a long road ahead to making sure that those perform as well as what it's replacing.
Yeah.
And so there's a timing element to that. And also there's a marketing element. I think a lot of times you'll read people are saying we have bio-based, we have, sustainable products, but are they? Are they 10% sustainable, 20% to 40%? So when you get caught up in the marketing.
Just to hit on that point you just made about marketing, mm-hmm. Is there a market for a green product, a sustainable product, one that's yep. been through the gauntlet of getting around these things. Mm-hmm. That's one of the issues, you know, and people like the products that they do, and they have right. a certain expectation of their performance and everything else. Do you think the industry can rise to the challenge of marketing new technologies that has this sustainable component wired in?
And I think that's the other part of what I said about us generally marketing the fact that we have sustainable products. We're moving forward on that, and we are helping the environment. We're helping protect valuable assets, et cetera, which we all know. We just got to say it more. Whether or not, and yes, the answer to your question is yes. Consumers want to do that, want to see more sustainable products. They want to make purchase decisions based on more sustainable products. But I don't think that's being communicated to the consumer. So the fact that we're not communicating to governments all the stuff that we've done, impressively, and I think there's more evidence of that out there now. We just have to bring it together. And we can do that through the World Coatings Councils, through individual associations. We've all done some of it, but you know, we're usually working hard on the regulatory stuff and not over on the other stuff, waving our hands saying, how great thou art, you know? So that's a problem. But I think, yes, people are going to make purchase decisions based on sustainable products. But the question is, they have to be sustainable, and it's hard to communicate that on a paint can. You see some of it in advertising and TV advertising a bit, but not a lot. I keep saying, you know, the problem with paint now, I used to like, is I don't have the new paint smell when I paint my room.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, you used to wait, you had 3 weeks, it smelled new whole for all that time, but it was off-gassing. So that's not there anymore.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. And even that little bit of communication to the customer, and I think suppliers can have a role to play there as well. Because if you're selling a product and it's truly sustainable, more sustainable, then your customer, the manufacturer who's using it within his various inputs for a product, should know that, and they can communicate that downstream.
Well, let me just ask you one question about that: the government activity that's constraining the market, you know, and making things difficult in terms of restrictions on materials and the like, hopefully driving to some endpoint. Are they also helping with establishing the market? Is there anything going on in Canada where the government's purchasing environmentally preferred products or encouraging green specifications in any way, shape, or form? Just a thought on this one.
Yeah, they are. I mean, municipal governments do that. They could do more. And I think we've written letters to recently, or last year, to the BC government, who's looking at changing its regulations for paint recycling, because paint recycling is kind of one of the things everyone sees. There's more to it than that. I think there's a lot happening in terms of the marine coating that's reducing invasive species and reducing fossil fuel consumption. It's bigger, getting bigger numbers than even waste paint. But it's one of the things that people see, and it's easier for them to touch and feel. So that's sure. Why I'm talking about temperature cured and a monocoat process that makes the weight of a car lighter. Who knows that? You know, and I don't think those selling cars are doing that. So I think maybe we as an industry have an obligation not only to, you know, we deal with the regular, we get caught in the regulatory world. We're up to our eyeballs. That's what we do mostly. Marketing side is not what we do, but I think the companies have an opportunity here on the marketing side to start telling you know, the automotive guys, they're buying their product. These are the things we're doing on the sustainable front. Put it in the window. The customer sees that. Okay, I'm not getting an EV car, but I'm getting a car that is lighter weight, et cetera, that gets better mileage, et cetera, et cetera. And I look at it all the time. I say, well, we're missing an opportunity.
One of the things that we're up against, though, in this information age and you know, instant social media disbursement of stuff is, I hesitate to call it misinformation, but it's mm-hmm. it's information that gets picked up and acted on, mm-hmm. and it's not well founded, you
right.
know. But if it's green and it's mm-hmm. happens somewhere in an anecdotal setting, mm-hmm. why can't the entire industry just do this, you know, and
yeah.
and quit it. And I wonder if there's anything collaborative between industry and government that could help resolve some of this.
That's a good point. I don't think about, you know, sustainable business more as a network rather than like a linear kind of an approach. So we've been looking at it very much linear. We had to find a way to establish some traceability with respect to raw materials, the products, recycled paint materials, becoming bigger issue than in the past. So those are the kinds of things. Look at it as a network, and I think some of the sustainability reporting has been good in that regard. I think more needs to be done. because even the manufacturers in the sustainability report are also going down into supply chains. But yes, I think we do have to get on the same page. I mean, we are on the regulations coming at us. We know about that's in terms of the new VOC ones coming down the pipe for architectural, AR, bigger issues like fossil fuel and net zero and climate change and all that. I think there's more to be done, for sure.
We one of the other projects I'm working on are development of technology roadmaps around certain key facets of innovation. And one of the goals of that project has been to engage government in it, to bring government into the equation. In the U.S., and I'm sure in Canada, there is some funding that goes out by the government to support innovation and green innovation and movement. And, you know, we'd like to direct that funding to areas where it's most likely to have success, short term and medium term and long term success. So the you know, being able to define those things is an interesting challenge, collaborating with companies. But government seems to have an interest. And what's interesting to me is that where successes have occurred with government funding, the government's not been shy in the U.S. about promoting. But it isn't a lot, but it's a start. So if you get a little bit of a toe in on this, you know, it might move forward.
But I agree. And you also have to educate them, because banning plastics like we've done here is still not, it's going through the gazette process now, five manufactured plastics, which is not a good way to go, because plastics is recyclable. So it's part of the circular economy. You know, they're multi-layered. Some of them have laminates, which cannot be recycled. So is there a way to remove the laminates from that? And so you got something that's in the circular economy. So those kinds of things, you know, we have to discuss in terms of sustainability, and those who are supplying the inputs, that's a real market opportunity. Say, look, we can fix that for you. And then you can say to the government, hey, we've got a recyclable material where we didn't have one before. So landfill is not going to be damaged. So, you know, those kinds of things which is good for better products, it's good for recycling. And long term, it can help us with government, who says, OK, these guys are trying to do their best. So I think since this new minister came and the banning of the five manufactured plastic products, this is now top of mind. And we have to get more creative, more innovative in talking about our products in the sustainability mode.
It's good. Gary, in our discussion here today, I picked up on three themes, three aspects, and they all start with the letter C. I jotted them down as we went along here. So it's the three C's. And the first thing you raised was communication. The industry has a better, be it sustainability, green products, impacts, and the like. Communication is something that the industry needs to focus on. Mm-hmm. Collaboration is the other C, because your association and the industry as a whole needs to collaborate with the other actors in this arena in terms of developing strategies that move forward. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, there's a cooperation element here. Mm-hmm. You know? And when I say cooperation, I don't think it's unreasonable. With specifically in the area you just talked about in terms of assessments and the like, mm-hmm. we need cooperation among the other actors that have these decision made. They cannot just dismiss it or take a, you know, mm-hmm. hide behind the statutory language that doesn't allow them to even think about the other side of the coin at this point. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm hoping that our experiences as citizens of the world and collaborating and cooperating and communicating, we surely could have done a better job in this pandemic in terms of information and misinformation. But if we emerge out of it, maybe these will become the three C's of chemicals management as we move forward. So,
yeah, I agree. Cooperative, the last one is the hardest one. But you're right. We have to do. We have a lot of work to do, and it seems more work to do because, you know, you're right. Things are changing. It's always changing. And that's been true throughout history. But now it's huge.
Well, congratulations to you, your team, all the folks you've been engaged with over time. And let's hope that more successes are in store here in 2022.
That's the hope.
The Grow Your Know podcast is brought to you by Azelis. If you like this episode and are interested in learning more, check out their website at azelis.com or azeliscanada.com. Follow along the Azelis LinkedIn for further updates. Until next time, this is Steve signing off.